Welcome to the wisdom and wit of Father Matthew Guckin. Over the years, Father Matthew Guckin has produced many wonderful teaching series, and we are delighted to showcase a number of them for you. On today's show, an episode from his series on the Gospel of St. John. Here's Father Guckin.
Hi, Father Matt. Welcome back.
Dave, it's great to be back, I have to say. I can't believe the way we are motoring through this gospel.
Yeah, this gospel of John. Motoring.
Yeah. It just, and it's been good for me. I don't know about you. I'm enjoying getting rather granular.
I love that word. Yes,
with the gospel.
Too. Yeah, you know, I'm enjoying this immensely. I really am.
Yeah, it's been good for me.
Yeah.
To sort of roll up my sleeves a little bit and do somewhat of a deep dive.
Oftentimes, you know, we read bits and pieces of each gospel. But here in John, you are really putting meat on it. You're developing it. So I really love that.
I mean, if you look at, like, liturgically, we're beautifully spoon-fed. You have to be spoon-fed, the scriptures, because there is so much in each passage. And just to give you an example, in our parish, Our Lady of Mount Carmel in Doylestown, we do on Thursday nights something called Connect and Prep. And all that is it's the readings for the weekend are read, and then people are asked to comment on them. You know, and I got to be honest, like, some of the things that people say blow me away. I mean, just to hear their insights into it, and then their personal experiences. And so just last night we were going over... We're recording this on a Friday, but just last night we were going over the gospel where Jesus walks on water in the midst of the storm, and Peter begins to walk on water, right?
Yes.
But then he takes his eyes off of Christ,
yes,
and he begins to sink. And this one woman, Nina Biller, shared a very personal reflection on this, that one time she was swimming off the coast of Puerto Rico, and she actually got swept away in like 2 feet of water and began to drown. So like that's important that we understand the gospel, but that we feel it. And she said it's such a frightening experience when you can't even get a breath. And she said she began to hyperventilate, but it gives us an idea of what Peter experienced in the midst of a storm on the Sea of Galilee. So, you know, there's so many layers to this.
Absolutely, yes.
That it's has been great to be able to, you know, not even go that deep, pun intended.
But that was a great insight. I mean, a personal story that brought this, I guess, to crystallization or fruition for her. I mean, she brought it up last night.
Yeah.
I have a question about that. It's called what again? Your Thursday nights?
I thought it was
going back.
I thought you were talking about a program called What Again? And I'm like, okay, what? I missed that.
Your Thursday night Connect.
So it's called Connect and Prep.
And Prep. And
so we're all connecting as church, right? And then preparing for Sunday. And
my question is, Father, if you don't mind, it's open to any parishioner that
wants to come? Yeah, as a matter of fact, I know there were some people from Our Lady of Guadalupe.
I think that's a beautiful concept and a beautiful thing.
There was somebody I know, I sat next to her, from Our Lady of Guadalupe. And then there was somebody else I know who was from Mary Mother of the Redeemer Parish in North Wales. So people come. And what I've heard, I do not run it. It's run by our Director of Parish Discipleship, Lori Guest. She just simply proclaims the scriptures, each of them, like the Hebrew Testament, the Psalm, the New Testament, the letter, Epistle of Paul, and then the Gospel.
The upcoming weekend readings.
And then people, but what Lori has shared with me is people are saying when they get to Sunday, they're prepared.
Yes.
You know, like, so the distractions don't distract them as much. They can kind of be locked into what God is saying. Yeah. And what was kind of neat with that, too, is that everyone had like a little different take on it. I was talking to someone else on the way here today, Father Chris Walsh, who said that we were talking about that same liturgy, Sunday's liturgy, And for those of you who recall that Sunday, it was the 19th Sunday in Ordinary Time. You're listening to this, you've heard it already, but and it was Elijah being chased by Jezebel and Ahab to Mount Oreb, and he's waiting to hear Elijah, the voice of the Lord, and you know there's a mighty wind, you know there's a fire, there's an earthquake, but God is in the whisper. And Father Walsh said to me that first I said to him, isn't it interesting how we have to whisper? And when somebody whispers to you, you have to get close, like God wants to get close to us.
I love that, yes.
But then Chris said that, you know, so often we hear people say, oh, the God of the Old Testament was angry and upset. And here,
fire and brimstone.
Yeah, and here he is whispering.
Yes.
You know, like,
yes.
So it's what Elijah needed, that
exactly.
Gentleness. So
absolutely.
Anyway, there's so much in all of this.
But I love that program that you described.
Connect and Prep, yeah.
Yes. Okay.
And there are many programs at Mount Carmel. We hope people continue to come to. It's beautiful. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, well, thank you. So shall we tee this up? We are going to jump into the Gospel of John chapter 17 shortly.
Buckle up. Let's go.
Buttercup.
yeah, buckle up, Buttercup.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
I don't know. I was on vacation for a while. I got to focus here.
That's the key, yeah.
Well, thank you.
Let's go.
Here we go. Jesus prays for his disciples. When Jesus had spoken these words, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son may glorify thee, since thou hast given him power over all flesh, to give eternal life to all whom thou hast given him. And this is eternal life, that they know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I glorified thee on earth, having accomplished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, Father, glorify thou me in thine own presence with the glory which I had with thee before the world was made. I have manifested thy name to the men whom thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them to me, and they have kept thy word. Now they know that everything that thou hast given me is from thee, for I have given them the words which thou gavest me. And they have received them, and know in truth that I came from thee. And they have believed that thou didst send me. I am praying for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those whom thou hast given me. For they are thine. All mine are thine. And thine are mine. And I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but they are in the world. And I am coming to thee. Holy Father, keep them in thy name, which thou hast given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. While I was with them, I kept them in thy name, which thou hast given me. I have guarded them, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I am coming to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I do not pray that thou shouldst take them out of the world, but thou shouldst keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth.
Thy word is truth.
As thou didst send me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sake I consecrate myself, that they also may be consecrated in truth. I do not pray for these only, but also for those who believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, even as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. The glory which thou hast given me, I have given to them, that they may be one even as we are one, I in them, and thou in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them, even as thou hast loved me. Father, I desire that they also, whom thou hast given me, may be with me where I am, to behold my glory which thou hast given me in thy love for me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known thee, but I have known thee, and these know that thou hast sent me. I made known to them thy name, and I will make it known, that the love with which thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. The Gospel of the Lord. That was chapter 17.
Which is sometimes or oftentimes referred to as the high priestly prayer of Jesus. It's a prayer. It's a one long prayer. And what I'm going to try to do, Dave, here is I'm going to break it into sections, and then I'll go deep down. Okay? So,
sounds good to me, Father.
Because it's complex, you know, and it's the language that's used isn't like the other Gospels, you know? So this is the prayer of Jesus. This is Jesus speaking to his Father. You know, so, and it's lengthy and it's kind of hard. It's, you know, it gets a lot of language. So I think what I'll do is try to break it down into sections and then go in a little bit more than that. First of all, it's long. It's 650 words, the prayer. So it's not a lot different than the Our Father.
Hey,
which instead, sometimes people said, this is his My Father. This is just he speaking to his Father about us. But the first thing, first section, if you will, it's what the Father gave the Son. The second section, what the Son gives believers. The third section is what the Son asks the Father to do. And then finally, it's about the Son's followers and the world. So we just keep that in mind sort of as a structure. I think sometimes it helps, at least it helps me.
A frame of reference.
To break it down. Yes. So the first section is what the Father gave the Son. Well, this is what the Father gave the Son. The authority to give eternal life. The Father gave the Son people out of the world. The Father gave the Son work to accomplish. The Father gave the Son words to proclaim. The Father gave the Son his name. And the Father gave the Son glory. All right, so that's section number one. Again, I'll go down a little bit. So I'll keep like going down like an auger in a field, right? The second section is the Son gives believers certain things. So the Son gives us eternal life. The Son gives us the Father's word. The Son gives us a manifestation of the Father's name, and the Son gives us glory. So if you think just a few weeks ago in the scriptures, and I know longer for our listeners, but think of the Transfiguration. Actually, it was just last weekend. And the Transfiguration, he is giving his believers, Peter, James, and John, glory. And it's so beautiful that Peter wants to stay there, right? Lord, it is good for us to be here. Let's build three tents.
Yeah,
let's
stay
build
here.
Three booths, right? He's giving us those little, he's giving us a share in his glory there. Then the next section is the Son asks the Father to do a few things. First of all, to glorify him, Jesus. Second of all, to keep believers in the Father's name. Third, to keep believers from the evil one. Next, to sanctify believers in the truth. And then finally, and I ask our listeners to please take this to heart, to keep believers united, to make believers one. It's really important.
Very important.
Okay. Think of your family. Right. Mm-hmm. What bothers you probably more than anything? Your children aren't getting along, you know?
Or mom and dad aren't getting
along. Or mom and dad aren't getting along, right? Yeah. So, it's our lack of unity. And then finally, Jesus talks about his followers and the world, that we're sent into the world. There's a tendency for us to want to recoil and just stay amongst ourselves. That becomes like cultish like that. Next, that we are in the world. That the world hates us. To get used to it. That's one of the best things we can teach new believers. If you're not being hated, you're probably not living as Christians. And then finally, our unity with each other and union with God, that alone may cause the world to believe that the Father sent the Son.
Yes.
You know, mm-hmm. like, so there's a lot in these 650 words here that, and I keep going back to, if I could preach one thing about it, it's that idea of unity. Mm-hmm. The devil divides, the spirit unites. Nice. This is also called sometimes the farewell discourse
mm-hmm.
of,
I've heard it
of
as
Jesus.
Such. Yes.
You know, and just, it's like we're, where someone comes back and says, mission accomplished.
Mm-hmm.
Right, here it is. Mm-hmm. Mission accomplished. We
yep.
see this. You know, he had taught others, Dave, to pray the Our Father. Mm-hmm. As I said a moment ago, what he's doing now is he's giving us his My Father. This is important. During the Last Supper, Jesus used the word Father 45 times.
Oh, I didn't realize it was
yeah,
that.
Yeah, and it's something that, you know, like, you know, you hear Paul use, St. Paul use it as Abba, mm-hmm. right? That mm-hmm. Daddy.
Daddy.
You know, so, like, I do mm-hmm. think that's something that's missed by, say, the Eastern religions, that God is an impersonal mm-hmm. force, you know, that
yeah.
that's not the God of Jesus. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a Father, Abba,
yeah.
Daddy.
Yeah.
We hear it 45 times in the Last Supper. So until then, the world had known God as a supreme being. He's now emphasizing in this prayer that God is a Father. He's mm-hmm. our Father. And he also states that he had completed his temporal mission here on earth, and that humanity was now ready to receive the glory, as I pointed out in mm-hmm. the structure there, his glory.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's important to note, too, that Jesus speaks of the relation between the Father, himself, and the apostles. Again, God's not some vague power. Mm-hmm. He's more than that. He's an all-loving Father who is not thoroughly known and understood except by the Son. All right, so this is dripping with that sort of content in this priestly prayer of mm-hmm. Jesus. Mm-hmm. The apostles were separated from the world, which is seated in unbelief.
Mm-hmm.
You don't believe that? Just turn the television on.
Oh, absolutely.
But the apostles, even though they're in this world of unbelievers,
mm-hmm.
they belong to the Father. You know, like Satan knows our name, but calls us by our sin.
Ooh, yeah.
God knows our sin, but calls us by name.
Oh, I love that.
It's that personal relationship mm-hmm. that not just personal, but merciful. So essentially what I'm saying here is that the Father had plunged his hand into this sinful mass of humanity and drew out these men. And they were placed into the arms of the Son, who in turn gave them the power to carry on his work, to speak in his name, and to apply the merits of his redemption. Dave, this is high stakes here. There's a lot in these 650 words, right?
Absolutely.
There's a lot going on here. There's a mm-hmm. lot about, again, that notion that, yes, we live in the midst of unbelievers, sometimes in really great darkness. And it was the same with the apostles as it is with us, that God calls us out of there. I think, too, Jesus here notes the continuity of a mission from the Father to himself and from himself to the apostles. Like, mm-hmm. we have to see ourselves in that same lineage, right, as disciples of the Lord.
I agree with that,
like,
yes.
Okay, God the Father to God the Son to us. There it is. Like that. Mm-hmm. And so therefore,
as an unbroken line of succession, yeah, or carrying out.
In a certain
out.
Sense, yeah, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, in a certain sense. And then as such, if we believe in that, then we have to believe that we're going to experience everything that he experienced. And so he asked the Father to protect them, us, and consecrate them, us, in what? In the truth. In other words, since they were to live in the midst of the infection of the world, They needed to be immunized. And he was asking the Father to keep them holy. It's not enough that they be holy, though. It's that they be holy in the truth. That came loud and clear in the My Father, in the priestly prayer of Jesus. Like, in other words, there is that, right? And holiness is defined as conforming our mind to reality. Truth is conforming our mind to reality. So sometimes people say that people of faith are trying to live a fantasy. They're not dealing with the things of the world in a realistic way. Actually, it's just the opposite.
Yes.
Right? We want to constantly conform our minds to the truth.
Yes.
Right? To live in reality. And not just any truth, His truth.
His truth.
Right?
Yes.
Jesus said, His truth sanctified the soul and preserved it from evil. In other words, holiness must be founded on divine truth. Otherwise, Dave, it becomes sentimentality and emotionalism. Many people do like to say, we want religion, and we just don't want creeds. It's kind of like saying, we want healing, but no science of medicine, or we want music, but not the rules of music, or we want history, but no documents. Authentic religion grows out of truth and not away from truth. It's been said that it makes no difference what you believe. All that matters is how you act, but this is nothing but nonsense. We act based on what we believe. Jesus thus places belief in Himself first, because from this flows holiness and good works, not the other way around. And we see that clearly. And then just to sort of tie a bow on all of this, our Lord adds that just as He had been sent on His Father's business, so they, sanctified by the same spirit of holiness, were to go through the earth as His ambassadors.
Yes.
And then the final part of His prayer was for those who, through the centuries, would believe in Him because of the apostles. His Sacred Heart embraces all the dimensions of the universe, both of time and space. And though He's only addressing here 11 men, in His mind, He had all the millions who would later believe in Him through them and their successors. And He concludes His prayer by praying for unity of His mystical body, for this is why He came, to build a church, right? So I can't emphasize enough, in a certain sense, as He's praying the My Father, we sit there. Again, this is taking place at the Last Supper. We sit there at the table with the 11 apostles who remained. And in a certain sense, we get to eavesdrop in on His prayer to His Father.
Yes.
And we pick out certain themes, right? Mm-hmm. And first of all, I would say if I could boil this down, if I had to boil this down into just a couple of words, I would say our mission is His mission, which was given to Him by God the Father. So it's just, as you just mentioned a moment ago, it's that unbroken succession. Number two, we're to call God Father. He's not an impersonal force or just simply this higher power.
Some distant figure out there somewhere.
Right, exactly. He's Father, He's Abba, He's Daddy. And then finally, I would say this, and I'd just like to close really with this, the importance of unity. That's vital in the proclamation of the gospel. You know, like I think we get, if you think of gossip, for example, you know, which I've been hurt by terribly as a priest. Gossip is for the lazy, right? It's just like, oh, that's horrible, blah, 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 blah. You know, blow somebody off with nasty words, right? But the damage, and this is done by people who are saying that they're trying to proclaim the gospel. Well, they're not proclaiming the gospel.
Yes.
Because getting at the truth is really hard work.
Yes, it is.
Right? It means, okay, I hear this. I want to challenge this. I want to look at it from another perspective. It takes a lot of work.
Yes, it does.
To get at the truth of something. And by doing that, we preserve unity.
Yes,
so
we do.
God the Father, truth, and unity.
Wow, Father
Matt. Okay, so I don't know if I boiled it all down, but I did my best to do so.
Oh, that was great.
Thanks.
That was great.
Thank you.
Are those seatbelts still fastened, folks?
Woo!
Woo!
My hair is a mess right now. Looks like I just stepped out of a wind tunnel.
Yeah, exactly. But that was beautiful, though.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. So, ladies and gentlemen, thus ends chapter 17 of the Gospel of John. And Father Matt and I will be coming back soon to embark on chapter 18 of the Gospel of St. John. So thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you later. God bless.
Thank you for joining us for the Gospel of St. John with Father Matthew Guckin on Holy Spirit Radio.